And we just pray blessings on each of you for the fullness, for the joy of the Lord to be truly our strength in the days ahead. Abba, Father, we just thank you for your peace and your presence, your protection, your infilling of your Holy Spirit. Father, show us all that you have for us, that we could walk in that fullness of your joy. Abba, we thank you that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And after Yeshua ascended, he was set down at your right hand, Father, far above all principalities and powers and every dominion. Lord, we thank you that we're the only species that is able by your grace and favor to be in two places at once. We're here in this room and we're seated with you on your throne. Abba, teach us, Lord, in the days ahead how to be strategic in our warfare, to know our identity, to know our place, to know whom we are seated with. Lord, for there are many principalities and powers and much evil down in this earthly realm. But Lord, we can do battle. We can pray. We can see from your throne. We're overwhelmed and in awe of your beauty, of your holiness, Lord. Your word says that the beginning of wisdom is the holy fear of the Lord. And I stand before you today, Lord, and these precious sons and daughters of the Most High God, with that holy fear, reverential fear. And Lord, we just thank you how much you love us, that whatever the biggest challenges we face, and just ask each one here, Lord, do we put that on your altar, the biggest challenge, the biggest circumstance, the biggest sorrow, the biggest health issue or spirit of infirmity, we put that on your altar, Lord, knowing that you healed them all, Lord, and you are healing us and you are showing us. And Lord, whatever that biggest challenge is, Lord, you show us, Lord, by revelation, by understanding, not just mental assent or carnal intellectual agreement, Lord, but by deep heart understanding that you care more about that biggest challenge than we do, Lord. We thank you, Father, that the burdens are being lifted, the weights, the overshadowing circumstance or a challenge or illness or broken families, Lord, that those are all being lifted off, Lord, as we can come before you with true childlike faith, Lord, and we say, we don't know. There's so much that we don't know. There's so much that we don't understand, but you do, Lord. So right now, just raise up your hand and squeeze the hand of your Father. And I often see a loving father leading a little child across a busy street. And we don't even have to be concerned about looking one way or the other. We do as we get older, Lord, but we can just keep our eyes on you, Father, and hold your hand tightly and cross the busy highways and byways of life, Lord, knowing that you've got us. You cover us. You have your angels around us. Lord, we thank you for that, the precious blood of Jesus and his bloodlines around us and our families. And your blood is stronger than anything from the world or from the enemy of our soul, Lord. And you hold us tightly, continually, and even right now, Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you're in the room. Yeshua, walk and touch each one, that they would feel your love, your presence, your your empathy that is beyond what we know. Your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. And we thank you that together we have the mind of Christ, and help us to stay continually wrapped in the full armor of God. Lord, we thank you that you give us everything that we need, Abba, to overcome. And Lord, even right now, by faith, we say in faith agreement, Lord, when Jesus asked, when he returns to the earth, will he find faith? And by faith, we say, yes, Lord, here we are. Use us. You've chosen us. You first loved us. You called us out. You set us apart. You sanctified us and consecrated us by your blood and your precious love, Lord, that even before the foundation of the world, our lives were in your hand. And Lord, because you give us access into your throne of grace, you invite us to see the script, to see what you had prepared, what you had written in the book of life, even before the world began. Lord, you are holy and pure. There is none like you. And Lord, we pray that we can grow as mature sons of God to walk in the authority humbly and obediently, following your instructions, your commands, Lord. And we just thank you for expanding our horizons, our dimensional understanding through the different realms. Lord, we can do nothing apart from you, Jesus. Take us up your mountain, Lord, and teach us your ways today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 I want to record this, so bear with me. For our missionaries in many nations and many lands, and you know, years ago, it's still a common topic of the seven mountains. And 10 or 15 years ago, I was asking the Lord, "Lord, show me about these seven mountains of society, of culture." And the Lord immediately said, "Come with me. Come up here." And he took me far above the earth. And he said, "What do you see?" Pointing down at the beautiful creation of earth. I said, "Lord, I see your earth that you made, that you created." And he showed me and he pointed and he said, "That's your mountain." Amen. We can make things in our modern intellect complicated and more technical than they need to be if we try to give God formulas and boxes to fit in. And he's not in any box. He's beyond the boxes. And he says, "What box?" He doesn't see the box. So Lord, we just ask in unison, Lord, to show us today, Lord, I know I have blind spots. Father, show us any blind spots that are in our own life that are hindering what you choose to do, what you desire to do. Lord, for we know without faith it's impossible to please you, and we want to bring joy to your heart and see you smile. And Lord, so show us those things that have hindered us, that we've allowed to be an obstruction. I know in my own life I've experienced being waylaid, being shipwrecked, Father. And Lord, you have pulled me out of that miry clay and put me in your marvelous light, and you've done that with each of us, Lord, and just continue to have your mercy and your grace upon us, Lord, that we could see what you see, Lord, and we just stir up the gifts, Lord, all the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit today, Lord, that we would be fully alive as the mature sons and daughters of God in these days, Lord. The Father's gifts are many. I shared with Anna the theme the other day, and she gave me some notes. And so we want to incorporate. Husbands, love your wives the way Christ loved the church. And she saved me many times with the helping the Lord save me. We've been married 46 years and dating for 48 years. By the grace of God. Actually, it'll be 46 years in April, mid-April. 45 as of today, 46 in April. Our good friend Bobby Connor gives this quote. We are all too familiar with a God we barely know. There's so much more. He's continually stretching us, surprising us, and taking us higher and deeper in his love. And I want to read from Isaiah. David wisely shared many of these scriptures, or some. Isaiah 9, 6, 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace. And verse 7. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from the latter time forth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So the government of God is on Yeshua's shoulders. And as sons and daughters of God, he calls us kings and priests. And we have some catching up to do. As the remnant bride, the ecclesia, the body of Christ around the world. And I'm here today to encourage you with the hope of all creation. The Ancient of Days has prepared everything for you. That we are in a time of evil and chaos, but the Lord looks to you as pillars in this community to impact and spread his light and his love. Amen. I'm reminded of a good friend of ours, Anna knows well, P.G. Vargas in India. He's known as the Billy Graham of India. Over 10, 20,000 churches, we won't say exactly, to protect their safety. And one of the most humble men that I've ever met. He, as a real apostolic leader with many pastors and members under his leadership, I think he's 85 years old now, maybe 86, and still going strong. 15 years ago, at their headquarters in New Delhi, there was a dispute between the state and the national government. And so this was a pretty new, kind of looked like an affluent neighborhood of homes and offices, newer cement buildings. And the state government began to bulldoze the buildings. And the bulldozers were headed towards their compound. John Osteen, Joel's father, had given money to build this compound. And they had their ministry headquarters there. They had some classrooms, lodging. And I just now remember that when I went there the first time, maybe 20 years ago, PG had me stay. I was the first one to stay in an apartment that was reserved for John Osteen. So that was a blessing. And PG says to pray for Joel that he'll have the heart that his father had for the nations. And so the bulldozers were coming. They had tore down this building. And I've been there, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. And it looked like a bomb, a war zone, or an earthquake had gone off. These pretty new buildings just crashed down, fallen haphazard. And you had to weave through the street, which was once wide, was now a jagged zigzag. And the bulldozers were coming to him, and the workers, his assistants, his leaders said, thank you, Anna, and said, Uncle, we need to move the the files of the ministry and the computers out. That's the lifeblood of our ministry. And, you know, when you're in the heat of the moment, we are in the heat of the moment. The Word of God, the Spirit of God is in us. We will be faced in the days ahead with some intense, prophetic, intuitive, instinctive decisions. Amen. Facing the enemy. Right. We're in a war. There's wars on many fronts, but I was telling David and Elaine this morning, I woke up hearing, I've got good news, and I've got gooder news. But in between, it's going to look frightening at times. But the Lord knows this. He knows the end from the beginning. He prepared us for this time, and he's asking us to rise up as sons and daughters of God, as kings and priests, to be able to face the enemy, face the giants, as David encouraged me, to slay the giant. We've got, David had one giant, Goliath. We have giants all around. Lord, we pray right now for the younger generation and those that are in public schools or being influenced and brainwashed with gender dysphoria and confusion. Lord, protect them. Lord, we pray for the godly teachers, Lord, who are fighting the good fight of faith, Lord, to stand for the protection of the innocents. And Lord, we know that throughout the ages, the spirit of Moloch has gone after to kill the children from the time of Moses to Jesus to now with the millions of aborted babies that are now with you in paradise, Lord. We pray for the protection of our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren should Jesus tarry. Lord, that we can rise up, that we can do what you call us to do with boldness and confidence in Christ alone. Lord, that we can remember and know and discover our supernatural identity in Christ Jesus, that we are seated in heavenly places with you, Lord, that we can do battle from the third heavens to pierce through the second and even the first heaven, Lord, to go higher and deeper, to set the captives free. Isaiah 60 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and to set the captives free. There are captives being set free, Lord. And our hearts break and we empathize with the sufferings of the saints, of the innocents, and Lord, the millions or billions that don't know you yet, Lord, that you would send Spirit-filled people across their path to be beacons of hope, of prophetic destiny, of mountain-moving faith, even bulldog faith. Lord, in the book of James, it says that a double-minded man achieves nothing. Lord, we choose by faith to be single-minded, focused on your word, on your sovereignty, on your majesty. Lord, you are holy and pure. And you placed us where you want us strategically, Father, that we just continually endeavor to surrender more, to die to self daily, to be able to walk as your mature sons of God in these days, in Jesus' name. We seal each person's destiny now covered in the blood of Jesus. Lord, that we would not back down. We're not going back to Egypt. And like Job said, Lord, though you slay me, I will trust in you. Lord, we trust you and show us how to love you, to honor you, to obey you, Father, for all that you've done. As it says in the New Testament, there aren't enough books in the world to contain all that Jesus did. And Lord, let us be a sign and wonder in our day, Lord, that though a prophet is not honored in his hometown, Lord, that these here in the Martinsville, Collinsville area, Lord, that are friends and neighbors. This is really a city on a hill. And bless you, John and Mary Ann and the team that has persevered and labored here. Lord, that truly the best days are ahead, Lord, that Lord, help them to prepare the building additions, the chairs that are going to be needed as the times intensify, Lord, people will be coming up that hill looking for hope, looking for solace, looking for safety, for comfort. Lord, that these really are apostolic, prophetic leaders in your army being prepared for the days ahead, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your word that is alive, Lord, that talks about leaders of old, of the heroes of the faith, Lord, like we read in Hebrews 11, Lord, of those that were living in caves in the desert, those that were sawn in two, that were boiled in oil, Lord, that they were not worthy of this earth. But Lord, your word says, because you had something better for us, I take that as meaning us here today, that you had something better for us, that apart from us, those heroes of the faith would not see their promises fulfilled. Lord, that when we look up at the sky, we can see the same stars that Noah looked at, that Abraham and Moses looked at, that Daniel and Joseph looked at. Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we just hang our hat on Jesus as Messiah. And Lord, we thank you for humility as being a real hallmark of a mature leader, a son or a daughter of God. Lord, I'm reminded of Apostle Paul in his early days after his encounter with the Lord. He would say, I am the chief apostle. But by the time he's an older man, he says, I'm the least of the saints. Lord, help us to grow in that fullness of stature as Jesus, our high priest, our chief intercessor, intercedes on our behalf day and night and day. Even now, Yeshua, you're interceding on our behalf that we would believe the way you created us to believe. Jesus, you said the work of the Father is to believe. Help us to be about the Father's business, believing, knowing that you are the God of the impossible. Next is 2 Peter 1:4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle, a special messenger of Jesus Christ, to those who have received, obtained an equal privilege, like precious faith with ourselves in and through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. Obtained, this is from the Amplified Classic Version, obtained an equal privilege of like precious faith with ourselves in and through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that our righteousness is as filthy rags, but as we awaken and assimilate our supernatural identity in Christ, you can picture it like this. Maybe you all stand up just for a moment. Lord, we humble ourselves before you, acknowledging we can do nothing apart from you, Jesus. And our righteousness truly is as filthy rags. We're nothing in ourselves. But Lord, by faith, we step into the righteousness of Christ. So right now, just take a step forward as we step into the righteousness of Christ. Lord, it's not I who live, but it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. You may be seated. Years ago, Bob Jones said, maybe 12, 15 years ago, we ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. But the Lord equips us with his presence, his peace, his shalom, his strong tower, his angelic armies, armies to war on our behalf, armies of angels to minister to us, to bring comfort, to not be surprised. But honestly, I'm surprised at some of the things that are happened. What happened in the last few years seems like it happened much quicker than anybody anticipated. Some prophetic voices got parts of it right. We see in part, we prophesy in part. But we need each other more than ever before. And your fellowship here is a mighty one. You know, in December, the Lord was showing me what he gives me for 2024. And it was like a beautiful tapestry. And so you are part of these holy threads of faith, of silver and gold and yellow and red, of a unique tapestry in this region. And he's calling us out of the church walls, and he's opening those walls. He's repairing the fences, so to speak, so that a fence will not be in the way for us to welcome. And the great harvest has begun. We're hearing, and we've all heard, you know, many Islamic, Arabic, Muslim people around the world are seeing visions of the man in white. I've talked to people like this, and when you see, they're fierce fighters, and it goes back to the time of Abraham and Ishmael and then Isaac, and how women will bruise the head of the enemy. And it's like this beautiful historical tapestry of a generational mandate across generations. And so the words we speak, the actions we take, are impacting future generations. The younger generation, I don't know which one is current, is it Gen Z? They don't like hypocrisy. We don't like hypocrisy. But what has kept them away is they see, well, why would I become a Christian? How are they different? And Lord, just illuminate us with your presence that our actions would speak louder than our words, and they would sense something different about us. Of can we love without judging? Can we empathize with them? So many younger generations today, they don't have hope. Who's going to give them hope? It's you. You're a messenger of fire. You're a messenger of God's truth and his hope and his joy to be demonstrated. So let me go back to P.G. Vargas. The bulldozers are coming into the compound in Andheri Mode 26 in New Delhi. And the leaders and the assistants are saying, we need to remove the files. We need to move the computers. It's the lifeblood of our ministry. So in that moment, that prophetic instinctive, as I like to call it, comes in, and the word is alive in your heart. You've got the bulldozers coming to tear down your church, your offices, your house. He says, don't remove one paperclip. Wow. And he told me later, he said, Brother George, I was shaking in my boots. Wow. But these people around me were looking for a solid, convicted obedience to the Lord. And they insisted, and the bulldozers were getting closer. There were three bulldozers, and they were getting closer. And he said, don't remove one paperclip. And he stands there. He's terrified inside, but he's got these people around, church members, staff, leaders, assistants, young apostolic leaders, looking to him. And he said, don't remove a paperclip. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, said, without risk, there's no room for faith to work. Anna can tell you the risks that we've taken and continue to take. And I so love and appreciate her wisdom and her balance. Amen. We need that. We need each other. Amen. To bounce ideas off. Amen. Of. David and Michelle Bates are on our board, and we so honor and cherish and appreciate them, because I don't want to mess up. I don't want to miss God. Amen. And I don't want to miss him out of fear or unbelief or paralysis of analysis. And that's like a plague of modern churchianity, that we're called to help people get free of the religious spirit, the political correctness spirit, the woke mentality. There's perversion. You know, as the Bible says, they call good evil and evil good. We're called to be like the plumb line of Zerubbabel, to say, no, wait a minute. The word says this. And we need to stand by this. We need to protect the younger generation. We need to protect our God-ordained founding fathers' Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. It's all under threat. They want to do away with it. They don't even follow it. And many of the court cases that are going on now, going after Trump, for example, they lack jurisdictional oversight in the areas that they're doing. So even scholars and the legal profession is sucked up in that swamp of political correctness and trying to legislate stuff that they have no jurisdictional authority to do. We need to become educated. We need to be outspoken. Some need to be undercover. Yes. But as watchmen and watchwomen on the wall, we need to seek the Lord and the intimate relationship that he has for each one of us, that we would be obedient in those spheres that he calls us to know when to hold them and when to fold them. I don't think Kenny Rogers was in the Bible, but he thinks he was. So what do we have next? No one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me attracts and draws him and gives him the desire to come to me. And then I will raise him up from the dead in the last day.